Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to a bonus mini-sode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich, your famous Uranus, and breaking up.
We're going to talk about different Scorpio season musings for about 20 minutes. So if you want to hear immediately about the alleged John Mulaney and Olivia Munn breakup, just fast forward about 25, 30 minutes, I would say, right?
Yeah, and otherwise, stay tuned, because in college, I was a little bit of a slut.
Perfect. This is the first breakup of Scorpio season.
We love to see it.
Do you think Scorpio season is a very breakup-y time of month? Because it's actually the start of cuffing season, so you would think that it wasn't.
Well, it's kind of interesting because on the one hand, Scorpio is about merging together. On the other hand, it's about purging. So it's kind of like whatever is happening behind closed doors is either coming to the forefront to be exposed, to be released, or is not being talked about because it's so naughty.
Right. Also, Halloween is this weekend. Everyone wants to hoe it up and dress like a Tatiana. So
Right. I sort of feel like cuffing season starts right after this because this is out when we're like, you know, I don't know. And maybe this is a departure, but what do you have, like, any particular slutty Halloween story? I know my sluttiest Halloween moment. Do you have a slutty Halloween moment?
One time I dressed as Barbarella and only gay men knew what I was.
How did you dress? What did you wear?
Oh my God, it was so cute. I was like really in, I was in peak form. Like my hair was really long. I was in great shape. I got this really shitty free burlap Victoria's Secret tote bag with a purchase, and I turned it into a cape and I wore little shorts. Dude, it was so cute. I'll send you a picture.
I love that no one knew who you were though. So did you have to like say it at every part? I'm Barbarella.
Well, the lucky thing was I went to a party that was all gay guys. So like no one straight knew who I was, but like every time I walked by the gay guys, they'd be like, Barbarella, like they knew. And I was like, yes.
That's huge, dude. Congrats.
Thank you. What's your slutty Halloween story?
Well, I want to say, you know, anybody who knows me knows this, but I actually refuse to participate in dressing up on Halloween. I feel that it's, yeah, I don't do it.
That's
I don't
do it. Shocking. That's shocking.
No, I sort of feel that as like a, as someone who is sort of like performing all the time, it's like, to me, it's like for the people that are like, I'm shy. But this is not a judgment of you if you do Halloween, but it's like, I'm shy. Today is my day to dress. It's like, I don't need Halloween to have me be a slut, okay? And I don't need Halloween to be where I'm like, I'm this. It's like I walk around all day doing theater, right? So for me, it's I like to keep it a little more low-key. I always pretty much go as like black licorice, you know?
So you're kind of, okay, that's, wow. But you're, we'll come back to that. You're sort of gatekeeping being performative and dressing like a hoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're saying, I've been doing this all year long. Don't appropriate my culture.
100%. It's also why I don't really like karaoke, because I'm like, you either sing or you don't.
Karaoke is bullshit. How and why do you dress like black licorice?
You just wear like a black turtleneck and some black leggings and black sneakers. I don't know. Maybe a black headband.
Okay.
But it doesn't stop me from being slutty on Halloween, I guess is really my point. And now I want to say it's been many moons since I've been slutty on Halloween because I've been so wifed up, you know, pretty much my whole life. But one Halloween, my freshman year of college, I was dressed as black licorice, as per usual. But I don't even know. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll edit it. But it's like, okay, so I basically got caught giving a guy a hand job in the bench, on the bench in front of the freshman dormitory building. Then when we got caught, I don't know, I was just wasted. I don't know why I didn't think we were going to get caught, because I was just fucking rubbing his dick in public.
Did you not have a dorm you could go to?
I don't know why we, I guess we had, oh, at that point it was because it was, all the beds were lofted. And he was huge. You know, I like a big man. So he was, you know, he was one of the hockey players. He was like very, very tall. And then I took him down to the athletic field and took his virginity.
He was like a hot, giant hockey player virgin. That's your type, I have to say.
Why isn't it so? It literally is my type. Like, and
virginal, really hot, big jock. You're the jock whisperer, but you're like the virgin jock whisperer.
Oh, I literally am. And well, because, yeah, I don't know. I won't get into why, but I will just say that we went to the athletic field and I actually didn't know that I was taking his virginity. I just thought we'd been flirting since orientation and here we are on this slutty holiday and we got drunk. And then I just started jerking him off in the, and I imagine, I only found out he was a virgin after the fact. So I imagine while I was jerking him off in front of the building, he also was probably having some kind of a panic attack, like didn't know what to do. You know, just, I don't think anyone really had such a dick.
Like, I'm committing a felony by accident. What was he dressed as?
I actually don't think, I think maybe we bonded on the fact that he was just like preppy, you know, he was like wearing a preppy outfit, which I think is what he wore anyway. But we went down to the athletic field. I brought my friend Lexi. We sucked his dick together. And what? Then I sent her away, fucked him on the athletic field, and woke up the next morning in my lofted bed, covered in dirt. And I was like, whoa, what? Last night was wild, right? Then a week, and we didn't really talk after that. It was kind of weird. And then a week later, he asked me to get an AIDS test. He was like, look, I'm feeling kind of sick. And AIDS? I have to be honest. He said, I have to be honest. I'm feeling kind of sick. And that was the first time I've ever done that before. And I said, what? Like, have sex outside or have sex on the field? And he said, no, have sex. And I was like, he's like, so I'm going in to get all the tests. Like, I think you should too. And just like, let me know. And I'm like, okay. So we went and we got tested for everything at that point. Crispy, crystal clean. And so I didn't give him AIDS, but I did give him a story. And then the really funny thing is this guy, Noah,
I love that he thought it was an STD and not just like pneumonia from having sex. And right.
We're in Boston. It was freezing. Stupid idiot. That's why he hasn't been fucking, because he doesn't know how to, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. But then the funny thing too is right afterwards, there was this rumor spread about me that I gave a hand job in front of Claflin, the dorm.
Why is that even a rumor in college? Like, we are all giving hand jobs to,
because
everyone,
you know what?
Everyone.
You'd be surprised, but Boston University is a surprisingly prudish school.
I believe that.
You know, I was very, it's a private school. I'm public school, you know? Mm-hmm. And there was this rumor spread. And then my best friend, Haley, if you're listening, thank you. She went on a tirade. Like, how dare he? Like, it's not true. And then he wrote me this, like, real sincere apology. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I saw. I mean, I wasn't, like, just jerking him off. I was straddling him and kind of secretly, like, between us, jerking him off. But it was pretty naughty. And then years later, I came back and I apologized to him. And I said, Noah, I am so sorry. I was doing what you told people I was doing. And, you know, I didn't like the story about me. I tend to be more of a, in terms of reputation, I am a nice girl. I mean, you know, I'm wifeable. I'm you know, I always had boyfriends. I didn't want anybody knowing this about me. I was on the hunt for my next long-term boyfriend, which I found. He also was extremely, he was funny because when I first started dating him, not only had he never come from having sex, which I was like, I will handle that, but he also never had sex without his shirt on. And so I actually got him to take his shirt off, and it was because he had a nipple hair problem.
What is a nipple hair problem? Is it just nipple hair? Like, every man has a nipple hair problem. It's called their nipples too damn hairy.
Well, he didn't have a lot of, like, chest hair, but he had, like, a lot of nipple hair, which was, like, kind of odd. And then I guess when I finally got his shirt off, he had shaved it. So it sort of was, like, sort of like these Chia Pet nipples. And, but anyway, I did get him to
come. Okay, wait. Also,
and that's the end of the story.
This is just proof that Boston is not a real city. Because in a real major city, like, a 19-year-old boy and girl grinding on each other on a bench is not like headline news for the entire town, you know?
As somebody coming from partying in New York high school, I was shocked that this was even newsworthy.
Boston is pretend.
Yeah, it's just a completely like, what's the word? Puritanical. It's like, that's like they're Democrats, but they're conservative.
Oh, totally. So I must have a slutty Halloween story along those lines. I want to appeal to all of my friends that are listening to let me know if you remember one. Yeah, but I also want to share that I would like to share that in third grade, I dressed up as a teabag.
That was like slutty, but you didn't even know it.
Right. And like, if anyone knows my mom, like there's no way my mom didn't know what teabagging was.
How did you dress as a teabag?
My mom.
Balls? No.
No, my mom had a job always throughout my childhood. This was the 1 year that she was work from home, stay at home mom. So she was climbing up the walls. She was going stir crazy. She reupholstered everything in our house. This was the one time that I had like a homemade Halloween costume that wasn't just like a witch hat. And you know, and like a felt with a whole neck hole cut in. So this was my one like elaborate homemade parade float ass Halloween costume. And my mom made it because my mom loved tea. My aunts loved tea. It was like a big fake thing in our family. Like everyone loves tea.
And so, I mean, not to make it, you know, too about me, but it's, you know, Boston is home of the big tea party. So there's sort of a connection there.
That is a connection. So yeah, I was a tea bag. I'll post a photo. I've posted photos every year.
You know what it kind of is like, though? It's like, you know, when you watch as an adult, when you watch like children's things again, and you're like, oh, my God, this is like low key sort of naughty. It's like when it's like kid stuff, but it's like for the adults, too. I feel like that was your mom making that tea bag where she was like, like right. Her and her girlfriends were like, but Molly's a tea bag. Molly's a tea bag. But then it was like, Molly's a tea bag.
It was really nice, though. I'm very thankful that she made that for me.
It's a good memory.
I guess you're not doing anything for Halloween this weekend.
No, I'm going to hide inside with my kitty friend.
Okay. I'm probably going to be doing the same thing because I'm having a party and no one wants to come.
Why I would go to your party. That's like one of the only things I could see myself doing.
I just like invited everyone and no one has said they're coming yet. A lot of people are going away this weekend because I guess it's one of those weekends in Europe where it's still warm enough when you go below a certain like latitude. Mm-hmm. So I guess a lot of people are going away. And then also some of my friends are having a party on Friday night. And I think everyone's going to be too hungover from that party to come to our party on Saturday. So it's really going to be like me, Nick, Oscar, and this other dog that we're dog sitting and we're dressing up.
Okay. We're doing. If you want to go on IG Live or something or like do a Zoom, like I'll party with you guys. I just am not. I'm just in the United States.
Okay, cool. And any London listeners, you're probably
come
invited.
Through.
DM me if you don't have plans on Saturday, if you'll dress up. Because British people also don't like Halloween. Like in Europe, they don't really do Halloween. So like no one ever dresses up. And I think if I had just said to everybody, come over on Saturday night, everyone would be coming. But because I said it's a Halloween party, like that's not really like a thing that adults do on this continent.
Yeah, maybe there's just been like so much, you know, they know that you're American. They know what happens. Like I remember even in like the fifth grade when there was a Halloween party, that was like the first time everyone played like 7 minutes in the closet, whatever that game was called. Yeah, and we all learned the Aaliyah, Are You That Somebody dance, and like people were twerking on the floor without even knowing what it was. You know what I mean? Like, so I just feel like maybe they're afraid of how naughty it gets in America. And they're like, we're not going to the American's house.
No, I think it's just like they really aren't that into individualism. And I think Halloween is the night that you say like, this is my personal brand. I'm sticking a flag in Barbarella, or I'm sticking a flag in being a teabag, or I'm sticking a flag in, I was I, Tanya last time I did it in the UK. Oh my God, I'll send you a picture.
That
of my
was really good.
It was homemade. It was so good. So like I think it just gives them agita to be like, ooh, I have to like choose a direction and go for it. You know, like they're really... They can't deal with that. They have
No, that makes so much sense.
Tall poppy syndrome.
Say it again.
It's part of their tall poppy syndrome. That
what does tall poppy syndrome mean?
It's when there's one poppy that's tall and they want to cut it down so that it's the same height. It's like crabs in a bucket. That's another name for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like what you're saying makes so much sense because as American, but as like, it's like I'm planting a flag every Halloween on like, I am Halloween, motherfuckers. I don't need a holiday to be a slut. I don't need a holiday to have a personality. I don't need a holiday to be a witch. It me, baby. But since I was a kid, like, I think at one point, like when I was a kid, you like had to dress up. I was like a senorita one year. And then like, I got a turtle costume. What'd you say? Well, now it's racist, but it also looks a lot. I actually think it was like pre-dance emoji. It looked just like the dancer emoji. But
I was Esmeralda from Hunchback of Notre Dame one year, which is also racist now because it's a gypsy.
Those are the good days. But, you know, what's funny, so I ended up with a turtle costume. My brother was a Ninja Turtle one year. And then if I was like forced to be anything, I would just wear the turtle costume with my tap shoes. And people would be like, what are you? And I'd be like, a tap dancing turtle.
Okay, but like... For some people, that's the cleverest they are all year.
I hate that shit. I have no time for that shit.
That was you phoning it in. Wow, I learned something new about you today. Real quick before we get into the news of the day, I did a really great journal exercise this morning that I came up with on the spot. And so first I did a happiness meditation that was 15 minutes long on the Peloton app. The Peloton meditations are... way better than you would think they would be. So I did a 15-minute happiness meditation, and then I opened my morning pages journal that I do every morning. Usually I try to write things. I'll write a little bit what's bothering me. Mostly I'll write positive things like, I actually am talented. Like, everyone doesn't hate me.
That's good.
But today, for some reason, the spirit of Scorpio and Halloween took over me. And I wrote 4 pages, just things I hate about people. I hate this person for doing this to me in 1993. I hate this person for doing this to me in 2004. Like, I went off. Because I did the happiness meditation beforehand, it was like a healthy hatred. It was like, it's okay that I hate these people for doing these things. It doesn't mean that I am a hateful person. It doesn't mean that I hate them in general, because the happiness meditation that I did, it was all about like, you have an inner core that is full of joy. And the only thing that stops that from being you 24/7 is all of the dumb shit that happens around you. So basically these pages I was writing, it was like, this is the dumb shit that's happened around me that stopped me from being this inner happy core. And it made me so happy to just like purge it out and exercise those demons and be like, I hate this bitch. I hate this asshole. Like, oh my God, it was amazing. And now I'm not mad at anyone anymore.
Because you had been like carrying it within you all this time.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, like purge it out.
Yes. Because my mom always tells me, like, she's always like, you never get mad. Like, when someone actually does something to hurt you, you never actually get mad about it. You get sad. You try to make them feel better. You try to make yourself feel better. You never get mad. So I was like, I'm happy, but I'm going to get mad at the things I need to get mad about.
No,
so
it's almost like I'm happy to get mad.
Exactly. And now I felt like, oh my God, this weight was lifted. So everyone try that. Happiness meditation journal about whose guts you fucking hate and why, and you're gonna it'll just lift it all. It's amazing.
And from a coaching perspective, what I would just say is, if after you write your list of everything you hate about everybody, if you're still feeling a little bit, you know, just dripping with vitriol or whatever, and it's not really where you want to start your day, throw on a forgiveness meditation.
John Mulaney and Olivia Munn have maybe broken up.
Munn.
Now, our episode about them getting together and about the resultant pregnancy, that was only a month ago. Can you believe that was in September?
That's actually shocking. That's the biggest news of the pod so far. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun podcasting.
That was September.
And that's crazy.
October 25th. And so what happened first was Dumois. Now, this is very Scorpio season, because it's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now.
I was thinking.
Right?
Like, all coming back.
A month ago, our original episode about this is somehow, inexplicably, the first time Sarah learned about Dumois.
Changed my life.
Yeah, and now you know about Dumois. So
I know about Dumois. I'm fucking looking every day. It is like, it is one of the greatest joys of my last month.
Yeah, it's very fun. So the message on Dumois 3 days ago. Subject, baby time. Message, I've heard recently from a fairly reliable source that this BC list celebrity and her baby daddy, I know, so funny, A-list comedian, have recently called it quits. Source is a friend who works in publicity, so make of that what you will, but she heard they're not attempting to fake the relationship for the public, but won't be announcing either. So, a couple days later, Us Weekly. If Us Weekly is publishing it, it's reliable. So Us Weekly says, John Mulaney and Olivia Munn's romance faces, quote, uncertainty amid pregnancy. It's, quote, an imperfect relationship. An unknown future. They're expecting their first child together, blah, 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 blah. This has been an imperfect relationship from the start, the source exclusively tells us. The source must listen to Space Trash Podcast, Lifestyles of the Rich and Your Fucking Anus, right?
Who doesn't?
Like, we've been saying that. Even though Olivia is going to be a wonderful mother and has great support behind her, Olivia's friends just don't see these two being a couple in a year's time, the source notes. Masterful to blame it on the friends. Olivia is still bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but her friends don't think they're going to be a couple in a year's time.
I have a question about that as a journalist. Okay. I'm always really curious when magazines say that kind of thing. Like, friends say, sources say, it's like, what friend? That's not a friend. You know what I mean? Like, is it somebody like calling Us Weekly being like, yo, hot tip? Like, and like, why would somebody do that?
Here's what it usually is. It's usually either the magazine's publicist or a dueling publicist who's brokering the information for favors. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. The reason why this has hit Us Weekly is probably because it hit Dumois. So now people are whispering about it and someone said, look, we got to get something out there. So this to me sounds like someone in Olivia's camp. Of course, I don't actually know, but this to me sounds like someone in Olivia's camp saying, look, yeah, they don't know. They're not sure. Getting ahead of the story so that there's not tons and tons of speculation. But then, of course, the other side of the coin of who it could be whenever this something like this happens is, do you remember the Wagatha Christie story from last year?
No, but I like it already. Wagatha Christie's funny. That's so my kind of humor, stupid.
I know. So there are wags in the UK, wives and girlfriends of usually footballers, sometimes rugby. Like Victoria Beckham started it. You can listen back to an archival episode of Diva Behavior with Vix Layton all about the wags. It's a very good episode. It's the wags are one of my favorite topics. But so there's this one named Colleen Rooney. She's sort of one of their ringleaders. Like she's a de facto like mama bear of the wags. She's very highly respected. There's sort of a younger upstart named Rebecca Vardy. Colleen Rooney felt that someone was leaking stories about her to the press. So she started posting things on her Instagram close friends account and seeing if it got leaked. And one by one, she was removing everyone except for one person at a time to her close friends. And then she finally saw that the one thing that gets leaked, it was the one when Rebecca Vardy's account was the only one with access to her Instagram. So she posted this really dramatic Instagram post and the ending was like, it's ... Rebecca Vardy's account. And it went viral. It was like the biggest, it was really funny and hilarious.
I love shit like that. And that is so something I would do. Like that's where I'm a really good detective.
Scorpio energy, right?
Oh yeah.
Full on Scorpio.
Sniff it out. The betrayer.
Yeah. So that's the thing. It's usually with whoever's talking, whenever you see a source, a friend, it's either their publicist or one of their actual friends. Like famously, Meghan Markle authorized six of her friends to speak to People magazine on her behalf a couple years ago. And like everyone knew who they were. It was like a professional athlete and this, and it was like, duh, Serena Williams. And like, you knew who all the people were, but they all spoke without giving their names. It's always either a friend or a foe who's brokering the information. Do you know what I'm saying?
Case, cause like, why would Olivia Munn want, I feel like Olivia Munn would not want this information out there.
Because if she doesn't get ahead of the story, then something worse could come out.
Oh, I get it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. So she's saying, all right, tell them we're not sure of the future of the relationship.
Right. Or this could be like, let's say, you know, who's a famous person? Let's pretend that it's Jessica Simpson's PR people. Let's pretend Jessica Simpson and Olivia Munn run in the same circles. And let's pretend Us Weekly has a bombshell about Jessica Simpson that they really want to drop. And then Jessica Simpson's people say, no, wait, we've got the inside scoop on the Munn and Mulaney situation. And Us Weekly's like, okay. Or Us Weekly, they owe Us Weekly a favor. Like, they all traffic in information, all of the publicists and all of the reporters, you know?
Remember this from Entourage. Like, this now is making me think, like, in Entourage where you would see, like, yeah, like, the behind-the-scenes dealings of – it's also why, like, if you talk to anybody close to, like, the Epstein case or anybody that knows about – like, part of why they would say that people knew but didn't say anything, it was actually that, like, you know, like, governments were blackmailing people and, like, sending them to the house and then keeping them mum because of, like, you know, it was like – it basically was a way to blackmail people.
Yeah. So yeah, there's always that kind of thing going on. Like TMZ notoriously has like a vault where they keep a lot of crazy videos and stuff that no one wants the world to see. You know what I mean? Like that's why TMZ gets scoops. They get crazy ass scoops of the Kardashians, especially Kanye, Justin Bieber. And like the going theory in the industry is that TMZ has dirt on all of them. And that's why, like, you see on the show, on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, you see it where, like, someone from TMZ will call and the Kardashians will be like, okay, TMZ has it, so we have to answer, we have to tell the truth. And, like, but that also might be because, like, them being in TMZ legitimizes them. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a game of chess. And, like, I honestly feel like the reason why I didn't succeed in that world is because it's really hard for me to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like,
you have a lot of integrity, Molly. It's one of my favorite things I've discovered about you during recording of this podcast.
Thank you. But it's true. Like I would, but I am right. That's why one of the big projects I've been working on for years is like a novel that deals with all that kind of stuff.
That would be great.
Yeah. Like I find it really fascinating, but I could never engage in it myself because like,
because you're just actually like a good person.
I also just can't lie. Like when I try to lie to someone, I just know that it's not going to work. You know what I mean? And like, and it's not that the reporters are lying. It's just that the reporters have to know how to say, okay, well, I have this, so you have to give me that. Like I would never, ever, ever be able to do that just because I'm a baby, really.
Well, it's also just like the currency of other people's secrets is so shady. It's like that is bad vibes.
Right. And well, I mean, if it's with politicians, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's with celebrities, it's like, you know, it's debatable whether the public really has a right to know. I mean, I think the public does have a right to know about any elite, anyone who's making absurd amounts of money for sure. But like, yeah, it is a slippery slope for sure. One narrative that always gets pushed around whenever anything about them comes out is all these people saying, why do we have a parasocial relationship with John Mulaney? Like, just let it go. Stop talking about him. Stop talking about his personal life. It's nobody's business. And it's so strange to me that this is like, I don't know why people think that John Mulaney is the one celebrity who has like all this integrity that we shouldn't gossip about him. Like, we gossip about everybody, first of all. Second of all, I think the reason why people are interested in this is because his whole persona, you called him on the last episode, what was it, Kid Baby and like Backyard Kid, his whole like Kid Gorgeous persona is very like, wow, I'm just Leave It to Beaver. And then in real life, the rumors are like very dark about what he gets up to. So I think that's why people are interested in this. And I think it's like, you know, we all have parasocial relationships. I have a parasocial relationship with my dog. Like my dog doesn't know what my name is.
I mean, I stole a cat. I get it.
Exactly. Like, we all have parasocial relationships with everything. Like, you have a parasocial relationship with Squid Game if you're watching it. And what a parasocial relationship is like you act like you know the person or the entity or the character or the celebrity or the dog or the stolen cat in a way that you couldn't possibly know. So I don't know. Why do you think people get so skittish about gossiping about John Mulaney? And I mean, they don't give a shit. People, this is the funny thing also, is people don't give a shit about gossiping about Olivia Munn because there is an overtone of sexism throughout it. But for some reason, they think John Mulaney is untouchable. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that John Mulaney has a few things. I think, first of all, because he's had such a like storied comedy career. I mean, to be the head writer of SNL when he was like in his early 20s is pretty remarkable. So I think a lot of the like comedians have his back. I think a lot of industry has his back. I also think that when it comes to comedians, and you can see even he, there was an article I read that said that like somebody saw him doing comedy a month ago or so, and that, or I guess a few weeks ago, and he was saying like, everyone already hates my baby. Maybe we even talked about it, but it's like, everybody already hates this baby. So I think that like,
oh, I didn't know about that. That's really sad.
Well, you know, it's a good joke in a way though, because it's like when you think about comedians doing good work, a lot of times it is getting ahead of the things that people are going to say or saying the thing that is like, you know, overarchingly true or also, sort of like, commenting on.
Bro, if anyone hates anyone, they hate you and Olivia Munn. Like, they feel bad for your baby because your baby's caught in this mess that, like, you guys were publicly together expecting for a month.
It's so bad. And I am not happy for anyone's, I am never like happy about bad news. I'm a lover, not a hater, but I will say on behalf of Jewess, Gemini Queen, Olivia, Anne Marie Tendler, who I now follow and really like, and I do think my prediction is right about her, which is this is going to be the best thing that ever happened in her fucking life.
Ex-wife.
I am happy for her. I'm sure she's looking at these magazines grinning, overwhelmed with glee. Like, fuck you, you motherfucker. Didn't want kids. Now is having a baby with your secret celebrity sliding into your DMs, and it's not going to work. And I think she's also probably like, no shit, Olivia. I was putting up with him all the time. You know, I've been in breakups where, like, somebody started dating somebody, like, right after. And I've been like, good riddance. Like, thank you for taking him off my hands. Good luck, kiddo.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, I guess it is people do feel just attached to him because they love his work, which is really honorable and noble and everything.
Well, and I think until now, his work has been so squeaky clean. Like, he's been so, like, the nice guy dressed up like a 50s guy talking about, you know, the avenues and the trees and the bushes. And it's like, Too much tuna. It's like a whole bit. That's why the article was saying that, like, this was a different side of John Mulaney on stage. And it was almost like he was trying to show a different side of him because the article was speculating that he was annoyed at all of the specifically younger people talking shit about him because they have a certain image of him where he kind of wanted to expose, like, I'm not who you think I am. And it's like, whether you do the jokes or not, John, we now know that you're not who we think you were. All those jokes about your wife, you know, you weren't telling us the whole truth. But I think now he is trying to own a more, a more bad boy image, again, to get ahead of what I think he thinks people are thinking anyway.
I think that's cool of him, honestly. I think if he came back and was like, now I'm the 50s house husband, but with a new gal, I'd be like, go fuck yourself. But if he's going to start being honest, then hell yeah. I'm so down with that because we talked about this in the last episode. We both were like, we never really bought his shtick. And if his new shtick is going to be, hey, I'm fucked up, then I'm down for that. I think that's way more interesting and way more entertaining. And, like, I would salute him for that. Like, bring it.
And I'm not going to mention it, but I hope that he gets into that hot goss I shared with you publicly so that now then we can really goss publicly. But that's some goss.
Oh, yeah. That's enough about that. So, John is emerging during Scorpio season. He's emerging as his true self. When did Scorpio season begin? 2-3 days ago?
Yeah, like the 23rd.
Yeah. And right now is the 25th because my Brussels sprouts went bad on the 25th. So I ate them today. Okay. So can you tell us, remind us, what aspects of Scorpio does John have in his chart?
So John is a Jupiter in Scorpio, a Mars in Scorpio, and a Ceres, the mother asteroid in Scorpio.
Jupiter, Mars, and Ceres.
Yes, and this makes perfect sense because, you know, his Jupiter is the earliest of the planets, right? That's like things exploding. That's abundance. That's growth. So the sun is moving, and the sun and Mars are moving. He's coming up on a Mars return. The sun and Mars are moving into Scorpio. And the first thing we see is this, what should have been under wraps, what they tried to keep under wraps news, starting to explode. And it's interesting because his Chiron is in Taurus, meaning in the opposite sign. So it's sort of like, you know, there's a tension between, the minute Scorpio season starts, there's going to be a tension between, you know, what he is trying to hide versus that ultimate wound that he contains in his chart, which is around his security, his stability, his personhood, his physicality, his safety, how, you know, how safe of a guy he is.
Okay. Rewind, because that's so interesting. And I just want to make sure people understand. So Scorpio season, there's a lot in charts where it's the opposite end of the pie or the clock or whatever you want to call it.
Right. The chart relevant. Works in duality. So everything. So like, for example, this is a good note and you can cut if it's bad, but wherever the sun is the opposite of where the earth is at any given time. So when we're in Scorpio season, the sun is illuminating what's going on earth, which is now in Taurus.
Okay. So his Chiron is in Taurus. His Chiron is his deep primitive wound. Taurus is home, comfort, like decadence, which obviously has a huge issue with.
And values. It's specifically like values, money, security, safety.
And also really interesting because his money is directly opposing his values. Like he's making money being a comic and he's apparently spending that money on like fucked up shit allegedly in the past. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I think this is really interesting.
And now the other piece too. So as Jupiter is in Scorpio first, so this news, and you know, remember the nodes are still in Gemini Sagittarius. So any of that final like news that needs to come out about our neighbors or the way that we, you know, the way that we identify storylines and the way that we identify people within the community and within our lives and within the media and within the news is all, it's still not done. We're at 2 degrees north node in Gemini. So it's like he's not going to slip out of this period without the other side of the story being exposed or another side being exposed. So after, so Scorpio, the sun just moved into Scorpio. He has his Jupiter, then he has his Mars. Mars in Scorpio, he is an erotic, kinky, you know, what he does is very behind the scenes and what motivates him, what stirs him up, what gets him out of bed, what gets his dick hard, what gets him fighting is scorpionic in nature. So it is sort of private erotic fantasy or having a secret girlfriend or.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You know, trying to get ahead of news or having a drug problem. These are all very Scorpio and Mars things. And then we have the asteroid Ceres, which is the mother asteroid. It's the asteroid of nurturing and the harvest and sort of. So it's like even the part of him that is going to become a father, the nurturer in his chart, is in Scorpio. So it's kind of like, it's like kind of dark. It's like a little bit behind closed doors, a little bit, how do I put it? It's just dark. It's like he's, if there's a, and his north node, his purpose is in Cancer, but the actual mothering in his chart, like he's meant to learn to be more maternal, meant to learn to become more of a nurturer, more of a caretaker. But his chart is not a natural nurturer or caretaker.
Yeah, it makes sense that Ceres would be in Scorpio for him, because it's like, if he is going to be a parent, it's going to be in a weird roundabout way. Like
100%, it's going to be in a, and it's going to be like someone's going to get hurt in the process. And like it's going to be, it's going to happen. That's why we're like speculating, like, did she get pregnant way before this? You know? So I mean, I've even read reports. So I was researching this right before this while I was in the pool waiting for you. And it's like, there's a few articles that are out that are totally not credible at all. But it's like, people are saying like, she actually had the baby. Like, part of why this news is coming out now is because like the baby had been born, which I don't know. I don't think that's true, but it is this, it's an interesting take, which is that like everybody sort of, I think across the board agrees that this pregnancy happened before they said, whoops, we're pregnant.
Right. I mean, we saw the photos when he announced it in September, like
he was hella pregnant.
Right. And she didn't look big enough that it would have been out by now, but also like you just never know because, you know, babies come early and stuff like that. And yeah, I think it's really interesting how everything is so murky with them, even down to the fact, what we talked about in the last episode as well, the fact that she's 5'4" and he's 6 feet tall, because if you had asked me, I would have said it was the other way around.
I would have said there is nothing worse than a tall guy with short guy. Like, it's not like we don't see him. It's like he's out there performing and he just seems little.
He seems 5'8".
He seems so petite.
Yeah. And she actually does have big dick energy. Like,
she has big, tall dick energy.
Yeah, she does. Like, she is not like the other girls, but that's probably why she has big dick energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to, can we, before we go into the, oh, what were you going
to
say?
Well, I want to say one other thing about John's chart that's really interesting to me at the moment, which is that so the North Node is at 2 degrees Gemini. The South Node is at 2 degrees Sagittarius. He's a Sagittarius moon in the early degrees. He also has his Uranus, the planet of whoop, fast change, like lightning bolt. Now everything's different, like slip and fall, right? He has that at 0 degrees Sagittarius. So the South Node is creeping toward his Uranus, where it's very likely that it's like sort of, there's like this washout. It's almost like a take backsies of that thing that we thought he did.
Okay. What are his big three? Can you just say?
So we don't know what his rising is. There's no time, but he is a Virgo sun, mm-hmm. Virgo Mercury, Sagittarius moon.
Okay. So the fact that he's a Virgo sun makes a lot of sense to me because, like, I'm sure he sanctioned this. If this statement came from Olivia's camp, which obviously we don't know, but if it did, it would make, she would have had to clear it with him, and it would make sense that he would sanction this just to be like, yeah, I want to, because like we said in the last episode, he likes to control the narrative. Sagittarius moon makes a lot of sense to me because moon is emotion and Sagittarius is impossible to pin down. They're just flitting all over the place.
Well, and Sagittarius is what makes you feel safe. And so for him, what makes him feel safe actually is
what makes you feel safe.
Mm-hmm. The moon is what makes you feel safe. So he actually needs freedom to feel safe. So actually, like, Olivia mm-hmm. played her cards right to a certain degree, locking the guy that she's been wanting this whole time in, but she didn't know who she was messing with, because the more you lock this guy in, the more, especially because his moon is right there with his Uranus, he wants to be able to be like, I'm out. That's why he loves doing drugs, because he's like, you know what? I'm just going to escape this reality for a minute. The other really fascinating thing.
Again, same.
Oh yeah, no judges. But asteroids. So I plugged in some of the asteroids because, you know, I really like to do the deep dives of the asteroids. He has asteroid Lie exactly conjunct his sun.
What?
Asteroid Lie, liar, lies on his sun. Now, the only reason I think this is so fascinating is because I would also say, like, looking at this chart, okay, Scorpio sun, Sagittarius moon. He gives a big shit. I said this before. He gives a big shit about controlling the narrative. These are two extremely sort of proud, mercurial, I want to be the smartest in the... Isn't that the name of his special, The Smartest Guy in the Room?
Maybe.
That's like an astrologer told him that once. And he was like, oh, that's going to be the night of my special. Because that's like what this chart, he cares about being the smartest guy in the room. But when you have lie conjunct your son, you know who else had that? Our girl, Elizabeth Holmes. It's like lie conjunct your son means that on some level, you bullshit.
Wow. And I would say to listeners, get a reading from Sarah to find out if lie is conjunct your son and if everyone knows that you're full of shit.
Well, I'll get into the asteroids later, but like there's a lot of fun asteroid stuff.
So I want to go into our predictions that we made last time around because it's really fun.
Oh my God, what did we say? What did we say?
Okay, so you said, I think they have a shot. Because of Gemini in her chart, she'd be down for him creeping around. They might be able to fuck around and find out together. Become swingers, hire prostitutes, get into freaky shit, etc. Of course, what we mean is sex workers.
I stand by that.
Yes. And this is my prediction, which I am so proud of.
Because yeah, I said to you earlier, I was like, I think you got it right.
You always say that I'm psychic, and I always think it's a marketing ploy, but...
It's your chart. Pisces rising, Pisces North Node, you are actually meant to really realize how fucking psychic you are.
People should listen to me more. Actually, honestly, people should really listen to me more because I give people advice and I tell people what's going to happen and no one ever fucking listens and then it happens. Anyway.
I listen.
You do. You're the only one. And Nick.
Sam.
Usually. Okay. My prediction. I said she's building a dynasty. Even if it fizzles out and he goes off the rails, she won't talk about it publicly because she wants to be comedy's golden couple.
Yeah, Molly with the win. I'm hopeful when it comes to love. I love love.
I try to be less cynical because Spirit Baby Medium Jess McCune told me that I came into this world as joy and happiness. Something has shifted since then because I'm a cynical ass bitch, but sometimes I'm just right. Like, okay.
And you know the irony too, side note, her telling me I've never actually been in love is why, it's probably why I'm so pro-love on all these things. Because in my mind, I'm like, this fucked up relationship could be called love.
Right. And I'm like, no, this is fucked up. It's right. Also because I also did date someone who was fresh out of rehab once before. So right. I'm like, I've right. seen this. I've been on this ride. And I know what's going to happen.
I will say on a karmic level, it's not good ever to like steal someone's wife. Like she doesn't have good karma in this case because it's not, this wasn't done like above board.
Let's not say steal. Let's say become involved with. Become involved with someone who's not
available.
Become uninvolved with their spouse yet. Let's say that. Mm-hmm. Because, he went willingly. You. I'm sure he wasn't stolen. I'm sure he was already cheating with a million people.
I think we know he was.
Yeah, for sure. So, okay, I just want to go through the statement again that the source came from. Their relationship faces uncertainty. They have been imperfect relationship from the start. Even though Olivia is going to be a wonderful mother and has great support behind her, Olivia's friends just don't see these two being a couple in a year's time. The couple will
make great parents. What does that mean? Oh, sorry.
Right. The couple will make great parents. Nobody knows yet if they're going to do that together and apart. So, like, this is exactly what I said. They're not going to talk about openly what's going on. They're going to allude to it through sources. And they're just never going to – I just feel like they're never going to know really where they stand. But I think that – I really do think that this was – they both got – well, I think – I don't want to say Olivia got out of it what she wanted, but I do think that her interest was like, I want to have a baby and I want to cement my place in like being a comedian, quote unquote. And which is, I'm quoting ourselves because we said she was a comedian. Because a comedian is someone
The real ones know.
Right. You said a comedian is someone who can handle a funny script, but like.
Harry Met Sally, comedian, Anna Faris, scary movie,
Right. Never wrote a joke on their own. Just like can do funny sound effects when the script calls for it.
So Aniston, comedian, sitcom.
Exactly. So she's securing her place in the comedy firmament by being linked with him for life. And I think I don't know who's driving the ship for him. I hope that everything's going to be okay. But yeah, like we talked about when he was on Seth Meyers, like he seemed very
cagey,
shaky.
Well, because he even said, like, when he did that big announcement and he was like, I was afraid to say about the baby. I looked down and looked up because I was afraid to announce it.
Right. And he said, Olivia and this baby are saving my life. And I was like, no, you can't be doing that. Because this is the thing, when you date someone who just got out of rehab, speaking of the twin flame conversation, listen to our Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly episode last week. That is what I didn't know about the whole twin flame hashtag on Instagram, but when I was dating a rehab guy. But like, if I did, I would have been like, we're twin flames.
Right.
Like I ask my friends, like at the time, they will be like, yeah, you were fucking insufferable about each other, you know, because You're dating an addict who can't use substances anymore. So they make up this fake relationship in their head that does not exist. And the whole time that I was dating this guy who was fresh out of rehab, I was like, I know he's a bolter. I know he's going to get over it one day and fucking bolt. And that's exactly what happened. Like, damn. Exactly. And I was like, I don't even want to get engaged because I know that he won't show up at the wedding. Like, I just was like,
oh man.
I just was like, it's fun while it's lasting, but I know that this person can't be trusted and he's a fucking hot mess, you know? And I'm sure Olivia Munn knew the same thing. Like, she's not stupid.
Well, I think you're nailing it though, which is that, like, I mean, I think that she's a little off in general.
And I don't think she has any girlfriends. That's
Yeah, these sources are like her cleaning people or something. No, but it's like she seems like the type without girlfriends. She seems like the type who, what you said, I think she cares a lot about being seen as comedy adjacent or as part of the community. And I think that, like, I do think that she got what she wanted out of this, because I think what she had was like a bona fide obsession with John Mulaney that even she was talking about, you know, publicly.
On the record.
So I think, like, for her, because she also talked on the record a lot about how she doesn't want to have children. So I think
I thought only he did.
No, she did too. She did an interview saying, like, I'm 41. I'm really happy with my dogs. They're the loves of my life. And, like, I'm not interested in having a relationship or a child unless, like, they really are going to add to my life. And I'm going to, like, I'm going to give it to God and I'm just going to surrender it because I'm not, like, I'm very complete with my two rescues.
Where was the video you sent me before? Olivia Munn's dogs don't know she's pregnant. What was it? I didn't watch it yet.
It was a stupid ass extra, extra. And it was Mario Lopez interviewing her about her relationship with her dogs and her new, like, Petco sponsorship or whatever. What's really funny though is, like, she sort of hits on him in the interview, which I thought, oh, maybe this is just her game, right? Because she's like, he's like, hey, Olivia, like, so great to have you here. And she's like, hey, Mario, it's so funny. I was just talking with friends recently about Saved by the Bell, and we all were talking, like, who was our bigger crush on, Zach or Slater? And they all said Zach, but I said Slater. She's like, so this is a dream come true for me. It's like, bitch, you thirsty. You thirsty, bitch.
Yeah, like, what is she? She's doing press about the Petco sponsorship?
Doing press. She has, like, a Petco sponsorship, and because, like, dogs now, her dog was diagnosed as depressed. And that's why she got this other dog and now that people are going back to work, because things are going back to quote unquote normal, there's a huge push from the Petco corporate community now signed on with Olivia Munn to help with dog depression.
But is Olivia Munn going back to work? Because I'm pretty sure she's still coasting on royalties from The Newsroom.
Well, it's funny because she actually says it's a boring interview. It's not worth watching. But she's like, now that we're all going back to work. And she's like, me, the studio. And it's like, really? First of all, you're pregnant. Second of all, what are you working on?
Yeah. Bless.
I have, like, a movie coming out, I guess, Violet. But anyway, the interview is she's just talking about, like, how much she loves her dogs and, like, when she found out her dog was depressed and we made her depressed and then she got this other dog. And it's funny too, though, because she's talking about how she picked her dogs. And she said that the second dog she got, all she saw was the back of its head and she knew that was her dog. It's like, this bitch is moving too fast in every single relationship. She's just like, okay, the back of the head, that's my dog.
I felt Oscar in utero and was like, that's my dog.
Molly, the difference in the intimacy between feeling the dog in utero in real life while you're getting your lashes done is so different than like a rescue page with the back of a random, I don't know. I'm just picking at her for no reason. But
one time I saw the back of James Franco's head and I knew it was him.
Yeah, but you weren't like, that's him. That's my soulmate.
I did get really nervous. I think sometimes you know from the back of a head.
All right. I guess that's where I haven't had. Yes. When you know, you
haven't
know.
Had the pledge. You
haven't I haven't had the pledge. Had the pledge. I'm, you know, I've been in the sort of the tradition of forcing things. So I don't really know about that instant love.
You're in a monogamous relationship with a cat right now.
Yeah, I fucking am, dude. It seems good. We're fucking making love under the moonlight. But no, it might be the first real love I've really ever had. But anyway.
Aww.
And very organic, you know, came to me. It's like, I'm not chasing anymore. I'm done with chasing. Okay. But anyway. So basically then Mario was like, and your kids, the dogs, right. Do the kids know that there's a growing addition to the family coming very soon? We're all so excited about it. And she's like, you know, it's funny. The dogs have no idea that I'm pregnant. Why would they? They're just like, mom's fat. No, but they're like, she's like, the dogs have no idea that I'm pregnant. And she's like, and honestly, I barely even realize I'm pregnant. And it's like, okay, what do you mean, Liv?
Interesting. So I think this brings us right into our next discussion, which is she's a Cancer sun, same as Erica Jane. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You are correct.
And I find it really surprising as a Cancer, because Cancer is, of course, the MILF and the mommy of the Zodiac.
Yeah.
I find it very surprising that she would be like, I don't even realize I'm pregnant. Because it's like, okay, but like you decided to like go for this.
I mean, you know, let them put it in ya.
And you decided to like see it through. Yep. And like, what do you mean you don't know? The whole thing seems very like both of them definitely know.
Well, it's just like two. I think she's just trying to be like so casual about it. Like, yeah, like whether we're together or not, whether I'm pregnant or not, it's all good. Like, again, she's that like cool girl persona. So she's like, it's good. Yeah, pregnant or schmagnant. Like, I don't even mind being fat. I forget that it's a baby. It's like,
And it's like the time when she said to Jon Stewart, do you think the Holocaust happened?
It's like just not a good one. It's just not a good one.
I feel like we're shitting on her too much. Like, I feel okay. Bad because I don't want to, be clear that it's not like we think that she's some like devil woman that like tempted him away from his wife. I think that this whole situation is a mess. And yes. I feel bad about it. But I think
it's more that she has like bad, she's just one of those. So, well, I think the reason that we're personally triggered is as professional stand-up comedians who write shit and perform it, we don't have the like, oh, if only so-and-so could be like my follower on Instagram. Or if so, we're like doing the work of, I haven't been out of the house in years, but like we're doing that work of showing up and putting your money, your words where your mouth is and saying it into a microphone, right? She's like one of those, again, like thirsty waitress at the comedy club that is like just fucking all of the comics. And now she has a podcast or something where it's like, you don't get to be a comedian just by being in with the, even on this, in the Mario Lopez interview, he's like, let's talk about your fashion. You're such a fashionista. We all love your fashion so much. And it was like, they pulled up a thing where she was presenting with Patton Oswalt and she was like, oh yeah, that's me and my good friend. Oh no, it was Patton. Yeah, that's me and my good friend, Patton Oswalt. It's like, ugh.
Oh my God, you're right. It is like,
oh, so cool.
Full on comedy groupie.
Groupie. I'm just, yeah, I'm annoyed that she's a groupie. And I do think she got what she wanted because she was just obsessed with him, and whether or not she was going to be with him was kind of always unknown because I guess he did kind of ignore her DMs for quite some time. So I think locking him in for life, look, if they have a baby together, they're going to be in some kind of a relationship for the rest of both of their lives. So you win.
He already made it into the end credits on the Dave Chappelle special.
How? Oh, because she was in the audience?
No, there's a photo of her and John Mulaney and Dave Chappelle.
Oh, that's right. She's there. Have her on record as being there with him for that. She's in heaven in that moment. That's like, yeah, she's climaxing.
That is endearing, actually, to me. That, like, she's literally building, like, it is endearing to me. She's so into comedy that she's building her whole life, even her choices of, like, let's have a baby with someone who's been out of rehab for 5 minutes. Like, just to be closer into comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you see the comparisons between her and Erika Jayne? Because I kind of do. I feel like they're both sort of like obfuscating the truth and what's going on. They're both definitely super protective, like mama bear vibe.
Well, you know what the most interesting thing to me is like, okay, so in terms of the cancer thing, they're both right. Low-key, they're both obsessed with getting what they want. They are controlling the narrative. They are both making mothering and being a mother or being a caretaker a part of this narrative, whether like the relationships work out or not. But what's interesting to me is that their nodes are exactly opposite. So Erica's a south node in Aquarius, north node, or no, Erica's a south node in Leo, north node in Aquarius. Olivia is a south node in Aquarius, north node in Leo. So it's sort of like Erica needs to start caring more about the victims, more about the others. And Olivia actually needs to tune into herself and stop being so obsessed with, like, you know, Gemini rising, south node in Aquarius. Like, she has a real, like, how do I put it? Like default to other setting. And I think she needs to actually get closer to Olivia. Whereas I think Erica needs to get closer to the other people.
Wow, that's really interesting that they are opposite in that way. And I can totally see it. Is a cancer thing securing the bag, whether the bag is money or prestige or just anything that you really want to get, like just being like, I'm getting it and I'm clinging to it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that the sort of underpinning of the cancer ethos is, you know, you're at the bottom of the ocean, you're the dregs. So it's like, if I'm going to be down here at the bottom of the ocean, like, what do I need to feel safe? And because it's so dark down there, it's a very psychic sign. It's a, if I do say so myself, it's a sign that has to use their imagination a lot in order to get
location sonar.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're using their sonar radar to sort of call things in or block things out. They are in the dark. They move sideways instead of straightforward. So that's where it's like when we're talking about cancer manipulation or when you were saying like, oh, Erica's lying. And I'm like, well, she's not lying. She's doing something to protect what she has. Like cancer is all about security, protecting what you have. You know, it's like Cancer is the fourth house. Cancer is home. It is behind closed doors. It is deeply intimate. It is very obsessive. There's a very obsessive quality because it also is the first water sign. So it is that sort of primal emotional. It's the ocean, right? Like it's tidal wave. It's ruled by the moon. It's chaotic. There's a moodiness to it. So when cancers find something that makes them feel safe or that makes them feel secure, I think when you say, is it about securing the bag? It absolutely is, because it's like, what do I need to exist down here in this darkness?
What would you say characteristically are the main differences between Cancer and Taurus?
The differences between Cancer and Taurus, I would say, are that Taurus is more about work. It's more work oriented and it's more of a building thing. Whereas Cancer, I think they're very compatible signs because earth and water, right? But I think, you know, Taurus is about luxury. It's about building, is about, work a lot, play a lot. It's about relaxation, sensuality. I think Cancer is, but I don't think Taurus is about emotions as much. Taurus isn't a traditionally emotional sign. It's a very physical sign. I see Cancer as being a very emotional, heart-centered, much more manipulative in general, even though all the dictators, you know, but I think that Cancer is much more concerned with feeling a certain way emotionally, whereas Taurus is more concerned about feeling a certain thread count under their head.
I think Taurus is about working towards decadence.
Yes.
And Cancer is about manipulating towards survival, but both of them are about comfort and
yes,
like persisting at the end of the day.
Yes, yes, yes. And it's about like, right, it is all about moving towards home and building. I mean, you know, if you think about it in the zodiac, it's like Taurus is the foundation of the home. Cancer is the living room of the home.
I thought Taurus was the wine cellar of the home.
it is once the home is built. But if you don't build that home to have a wine cellar, then you're going to have a shitty one from Target, and it's not going to have the same zhuzh as actually having it being built there from the... Even if you don't have the money to have all the wine in it, a Taurus goes, you know what? Long term, we're going to want a wine cellar, so let's actually put in the blueprint. The Taurus is like the blueprint of the building. Cancer is more the homemaking of the space.
I would think that Capricorn is the blueprint and the...
No, Capricorn is the public.
Okay.
Capricorn is the blueprint of what the outside will see. It's more like the facade.
Okay.
It's the colors of the house. It's the shutters. It's what fence.
All this in mind, what do you predict now? What's your new prediction?
Well, let's take a look at the charts, okay? So I do have both their composite chart and their progressed composite chart up. Okay, so first,
What's a progressed composite chart?
So a composite chart is the chart of the relationship. A progressed composite chart is where the relationship is at right now. And what I am finding here is motherfucking fascinating, actually. Wow, I'm just looking at this with you all. You know, hear my surprise. Okay. So first of all, let's start with the composite, which is just the chart of the relationship. Why is this ending right now? Well, I'll tell you why. Because number one, Pluto just went direct. It was retrograde. Pluto just went direct on top of their composite, the charts, the relationships, moon. So Pluto now is going, okay, we've been like pretending that we've had power leakages or been playing kind of pretend. When Pluto goes direct, it's like everything is coming back into order, like taking back power. You know, what needs to be purged gets purged. What needs to be rebuilt gets rebuilt. But there's no bullshit when it comes to when Taurus goes, I mean, when Taurus, I can add this. When Pluto goes direct on a relationship's anything, but on a relationship's moon specifically, it's like the relationship's power is being like replugged in. And then it's going to be more obvious what the actual heart of the relationship is. So why did this all come out during a Pluto retrograde period? Because it was like, oh, wait a second. He just fell in love with Olivia and now she's helping him through rehab and they're going to have a baby and he's saving his life. Where now Pluto is direct on their moon going, actually, she been wanting to trap him. She trapped him, but he is not trapped. That's what's really going on in the power dynamic. And the public, Capricorn moon, Pluto and Capricorn, the public is now seeing the truth of the matter because Pluto just went direct. Now,
I don't think from my PR perspective, I don't think she really cared much about locking him down. I don't think it's a trap him scenario. I am standing by my thing. It's dynasty building. It's Cleopatra. It's, you know what I mean? Queen Mary. It's like Queen Victoria. She's like, I want to build a dynasty in the comedy world. And even if he goes and does whatever the hell he wants, as long as I have the Mulaney baby, like I'm part of this world.
I want to say I full on agree. Yeah, I guess trapping isn't the right word, but she wanted an in and she wanted to be with him. Like, she did want a connection. It's not trap. It's like she wanted a real, tangible, physical, now baby gonna do it. But, like, she wanted a bridge to him. She was always over here looking at him over there, trying to have some kind of a real, like, obvious connection. And she got it. So that's great. But it's not this couple. It's not this relationship that's saving his life. As they PR tried to play it, it's like, actually... I mean, she does, her chart is, you know, she has Venus in Gemini rising on, you know, so she kind of is okay with having like a lot of lovers and a lot of different things going on. And she, I think she was telling the truth when she was like, I don't really care about baby. I don't really care about like husband. My dogs are enough. I think she's telling the truth about that. But I do think she has a particular obsession with being in this scene and she got it right. But I think we're seeing the truth and where the power in the relationship actually lies. Now, this is what is fascinating. So again, we talked about it last week. We're going to talk about it again. October 8th, 9th, 10th, there was a very rare conjunction between the Sun, Mars, and Mercury retrograde, burning up Mars and beginning a new Mars cycle in Libra relationships. And Mercury retrograde was going backwards, going, oh, okay, once I go direct, which it just did, we're gonna have to reestablish a couple things, right? In their composite chart, the chart of the relationship, they have their Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Pluto, and Juno, the marriage asteroid, all in Libra. So they might have been faking it until they were like, maybe we'll make it. But I bet you, right after that Libra new moon, it was clear. I mean, that they had an exact Mars return. It was clear that their Mars was burning up in the same way that this relationship was fizzling out. And that once Mercury went direct, it is so poetic that now we're hearing about it with Mercury direct. And it's like, actually, they're going to be great co-parents. But we don't know if it's going to be together. Is she not saving his life now that he's found her? This is actually the story, which is that she's pregnant. And that's kind of it, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think, do you think they're going to stay together? I think they are.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see them together on a red carpet or anything ever again.
I feel the exact same. I mean, okay, let's look at the progressed composite for a moment. And just side note, the last thing I'll say is the sun of the composite relationship is in Leo, and the north node is with the sun in Leo, which is having an opposition with Saturn and an opposition with Jupiter. So this is a hard time for any like Leo 9 relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So for them to be having this, like, the public thinks this, but this is actually what's going on. It makes sense that there would be a breakup right now. Also, though, the north node and the sun of this relationship are in Leo, meaning that, like, for them to actually be here to create a child could very well be. And for them to be here, you know, the dark side of Leo is, like, fight, is passion, but also, like, anger and sort of, like, it's not, like, just passion, fire. It's children, childhood, passion, fire, but also, like, selfishness and sort of self-aggrandizement. So I can see this being a place for both of them to play that out. In the progress composite chart, all of their shit is, you know, they have Mercury, the Moon, and Ceres, the mother asteroid, all in Virgo. So it's basically like, okay, we need to get our P's and Q's in a line, or whatever the fucking saying is. We need to get our shit squared. We need to communicate the truth to the public so this doesn't actually hurt our child in the end, or get, we don't, you know, something doesn't come out without us being aware of it, right? Like, they kind of have to do this properly. But in the relationship, in the composite relationship, I mean, in the progress composite, I will edit this, I promise, but in the progress composite, the moon is in Cancer, which is like, they are in a very emotional part of their relationship. They're in a really moody part of the relationship. And they're in a part of the relationship that is, on the one hand, bringing a child into the world. On the other hand, it might be super fucking emotional for them right now. And this is like, I don't think she's having as easy a time with this as a Cancer son as he probably is. He's very concerned with the optics. I think she is heartbroken. Do I think they're going to get back together? I don't even think they really were together. I think they fucked a few times and she got pregnant.
I could see that because, yeah, when he was on Seth Meyers, he just wasn't selling it. He wasn't selling what he was saying. He was saying it. The words were coming out of his mouth. He was making the facial expressions that you're supposed to make, but it just wasn't, you weren't feeling it.
What a gross overcompensation to say, I've met a wonderful woman named Olivia and we're going to have a baby, and this baby and this woman are saving my life. It's like, okay.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
What about your wife?
Yeah. I'm sure his career is going to be fine because he's a man and, you know, they get to do it, whatever. It's fine.
And this is actually, I think, for her career. I mean, look, Gemini rising, Gemini Venus on her rising. This gives her a story that makes her relevant. Now, when interviewers talk to her, they don't just have to say, wow, two rescues, how fascinating. They can say, hey, John Mulaney's baby. Let's talk about that. This does change her story forevermore. And it is more in alignment with what she wants to be known for, which is being a part of the comedy scene. So I think ultimately it's fine, you know.
And I think she's dragging him kicking and screaming out from the bullshit facade that he had. Like, absolutely. Obviously we will never know the real any of these people because they're celebrities and it's not real life and it's all for fun. It's just a fun podcast. Ha 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 ha. But like, I think we're a little closer now to knowing what he's really like. And I think that's a good thing. And I think it's only going to make people like him more. And he needs to not hide from that.
You want to know something really fascinating? in their synastry, meaning like when I look at the charts next to each other, like on top of each other, his sun and asteroid Lie are exactly conjunct her Jupiter expansion and asteroid Child.
Oh,
I know. And, you know, the other thing, too, is, like, her Saturn is in Virgo. So I do think part of what's going on here is that, like, this baby is going to give her life structure and meaning and something to... I think this actually gives her a story that she likes better than just being, you know, blind-itemed as B-list, C-list celebrity who's prego, right? Like, this actually brings her life into a more serious focus. She's now going to be a more serious person, and I think... for her own story's sake, this feels like her karma.
Good. Well, I think that's great for someone. Yeah. And, yeah. You know, happy Scorpio season. Let's let the skeletons come out and play.
Let's.
Check our merch store. The Sweet But Scorpio merch is always a top seller.
So cool. I want to get some, even though I'm not Scorpio. I just want everyone to think I'm Scorpio so they think I'm sexy and shady.
I know. I need to get Nick a Sweet But Scorpio thing because, as we all know, he is a double Scorp.
Love that for him.
He leads a life of crime and
sensuality. But he's a tender lover and he likes musical theater. I love him.
He's a tender sweetie. He is always, though, pitching crimes to me. Always.
Oh, I can't wait to all hang out.
I know. He would never do a crime, but he's always like, what if we knocked down the wall and built it 3 feet farther away into the neighbor's apartment so that our apartment would be 3 feet wider and the neighbor would never know?
Okay, you know I love a criminal mind and you know I love more square footage. He's a fucking dream. Good job. You
locked him in. Happy Scorpio season. Everyone in London is invited to my Halloween party because of what's coming. Sarah's gatekeeping Halloween.
I will be holed up in the bathtub doing witchcraft with my cat.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.